You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Welcome in on a Monday edition of the Gym Class. Final full week of the month of January. Already 2025, a 12th over coming up on Friday. Let that sink in for a little bit. We got a great show coming up for you. Tom Kakert, HawkeyeReport.com, is going to be joining us in the back half of the program. Front half of the program, we will talk about the AFC and NFC championship games, talk a little basketball, a big one tonight in the Big 12 for the Iowa State Cyclones as they are in the Valley of the Sun to take on the Arizona Wildcats down at the McHale Center in Tucson. We'll talk about that and more. 319-366-1600 is the text line available to you. That's 319-366-1600. That is the phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone and dial us up, 319-366-1600 here on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker on a post-championship games Monday here in Eastern Iowa. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, joining me right now from the back porch on the southwest side. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, everyone. And really an interesting Sunday of football, and we're going to get into that. And super night in basketball.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. A late one, by the way. Cyclone fans, either prepare to stay up late or hope you got a nap in, whatever the case may be, because it is an 8:30 pregame tonight for Iowa State and Arizona, 9:35 with the tip-off coming up this evening. Of course, we'll have it for you right here on your home of the Cyclone, 1600 ESPN. And big thanks to Lisa Nolan Real Estate. LisaNolanRealtor.com is the website. Cardinal sponsor for Iowa State men's and women's basketball. And we'll be pulling for the Cyclones coming up this evening. Isaac, good afternoon. How was your weekend?
Good. I don't know why, but I am just exhausted right now. I had a little scare at the gym this morning. I was doing some squats and felt a little pop in my knee.
Uh-oh.
So nothing. I wasn't immediately in pain, so I'm going to take that as a positive sign. But that was not very much fun.
You're young.
Yeah, I don't know what that was all about. All I know is I was like, all right, I'm going to be done squatting for the day and go over to the machines and work on those instead. felt a little bit more comfortable.
Well, I hope everything works out for you.
I don't think it's that serious.
Okay. Mark, have a good weekend.
Yeah, my knee pops out when I get out of bed sometimes.
I was lobbing a softball from several blocks away on that
out
one.
Out of the park, baby.
And Mark hit it out. 319-366-1600 here on a Monday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. As we mentioned, Iowa State and the Arizona Wildcats coming up tonight, and that will be an 8:30 pregame right here on 1600 ESPN. Big game in the Big 12, Mark, without going too much into detail, but I think maybe even more of a big game for Arizona than Iowa State. Cyclones tied with Arizona for second, but Cyclones net a little bit better. They're a 6 right now. Arizona 15. Iowa State's non-con better than Arizona's. Not that the Wildcats are in danger of, you know, falling completely on their face and missing out on the NCAA tournament or anything like that, but this certainly, even a loss, and I don't want to, you know, dye that cast on Iowa State fans out there. It's not going to be an earth-shattering loss tonight if Iowa State comes up short this evening. It's going to hurt Arizona losing at home a little bit more than it's going to hurt Iowa State losing to a quad one team on the road. Should be a fun game tonight.
I think so too. And you know, you don't know what's going to happen the rest of the season. It's one of the remaining pitfalls that Iowa State faces. It still has to play Kansas again soon, I think next Monday, and only had one game against Houston, and that's at Houston, which somehow, some way, beat Kansas in double overtime.
Oh, wow.
Saturday.
If you missed the ending of that game, and, well, actually, if you missed the end of the first overtime, this is just, I don't know, and maybe it's going to change, and it always does for Bill Self to win all the Big 12 titles that he has done. But they're just, to me, there's just something missing from this Kansas team so far. I mean, Houston and what they did to send that into a second overtime and eventually win that game on the road was, that was beyond amazing, with a couple of steals, a couple of threes. And Kansas actually, I don't know, I think Kansas lost that game more than Houston won that game.
Yeah, it probably wasn't the biggest occurrence in the Kansas area over the weekend, but yeah, it's always going to be a dangerous team with Kansas, Bill Self, the talent that it has. That was a spotlight game of the weekend, and just, I think Kansas kind of frittered it away, but give Houston credit. It stays unbeaten in the Big 12.
16-3, and they're on top of the Big 12 at 8-0. So a big game tonight for the Iowa State Cyclones as they get ready to finish their trip. Saturday was a very interesting game for Iowa State. 30 minutes, I mean, give Arizona State a lot of credit. The plucky Sun Devils played very, very well. And Iowa State kind of was playing with their food, I thought, a little bit. And then all of a sudden, whatever happened, I mean, Curtis Jones was amazing. We know that. 33, I think he had. But the defense kicked in the last 10 minutes and allowed Iowa State to pull away and ended up double-digit win down in Tempe.
Trailed at halftime, and all you need to know is Curtis Jones playing as well as anybody in the country. And I think, as I told you earlier today, I think it's better that Iowa State played Arizona State rather than Arizona on that trip out west.
319-366-1600 here on a Monday edition of the Gym Class. Iowa in action tonight as well. Iowa out in Columbus to take on the Ohio State Buckeyes tonight. That is a 7 o'clock start at Value City Arena. And it's Columbus has been a very interesting place for Iowa basketball, Mark. It seems as though it's either an Iowa win or an Iowa blowout. And not a whole lot in between. Either Iowa loses by 20-plus or they somehow come away with a victory in Columbus. It's just been a very unusual place to play for the Hawkeyes over the years.
Yeah, and Ohio State's a strange team this year, as is Iowa, really. The Buckeyes beat Purdue the last time out, but has dropped 3 straight games at home. And I think this is yet another bad spot for Iowa. We've seen it play poorly on the road. And much like when Iowa had to go to Wisconsin, much when Wisconsin needed its first Big Ten victory, much like when Iowa visited UCLA after Bruin coach Mick Cronin lambasted his team and put a nod on Iowa's head, I think Ohio State's going to be anxious to get a win at home tonight.
I echo those sentiments. Buckeyes 3-5 in the Big Ten. They're behind Iowa. Hawkeyes are at 4-5 right now. Chance for a quad one victory, though, on the road for Iowa tonight. A much needed quad one win and a chance to get back to the 500 mark in the Big Ten and feel a whole lot better about themselves. So Iowa and Iowa State both in action coming up this evening. That's basketball. Football dominated Sunday with the NFC Championship game. The Philadelphia Eagles with a big win over the Washington Commanders. The Chiefs are going for a three-peat. Yes, Matt in Fairfax, I'm with you. As the Chiefs defeated Buffalo yesterday, 32-29. What was a absolutely fantastic football game, I thought.
Yeah, as far as the Philadelphia game, I was surprised at the ease with which Philadelphia won. It only, you know, Barkley was terrific, but he only touched the ball 15 times. And yet Philadelphia put up 55 points on a really porous Washington rushing defensive team. Jalen Hurts was really good. And, you know, Philadelphia, along with Detroit, I think were the two best teams in the NFC. But I think the AFC was much stronger this year. And as far as the Kansas City-Baltimore or Buffalo game, I wasn't sure what we were going to get after the anthem sung by the retired Navy vet. Wow.
He's good.
That was a classic, I think. If the football game wasn't a classic, it was pretty darn close to it.
It was. I mean, you take a look at everything in that game. I mean, total yards within six of one another between Buffalo and Kansas City. And, I mean, up and down the line, Chiefs had their chance. Both teams had their chances. Chiefs squandered a couple of red zone opportunities, had to settle for the field goal at the end. If you're a Buffalo fan and Josh Allen has the ball with a chance to win it and a chance to get Buffalo to the Super Bowl for the first time in the century, I mean, you got to take that. And it was it reminded me, Mark, of the fastball pitcher against the fastball hitter with a 3-2 count and the bases loaded with two outs in the bottom of the ninth. Steve Spagnuolo came with the blitz. Buffalo had the right call. Karloftis got there just about a half a tick ahead of when Allen wanted to throw the ball, had to throw it up for grabs. Kincaid was open, had a chance, didn't make the catch. And that was probably as close. We might still be playing right now because that would have got Buffalo at least in the field goal range and maybe with a chance to win.
I feel bad for Josh Allen. What a wonderful quarterback he is. It just wasn't enough in this particular game. And it was a game that could have went either way, tied with 6 minutes left. And, you know, if Philadelphia mastered the quarterback sneak a little bit better, or the NFL had a little bit of technology, maybe it would have been different. But it wasn't. And it opened up all kinds of stuff. You know, the polarizing Chiefs, people either love them or hate them. And
oh, I know what they are.
Well, I mean, they're an excellent team. And the reason they're excellent is not because of Patrick Mahomes. They're excellent because of Andy Reid. They're excellent because of Steve Spagnuolo. Reid is a master at play calling, play design, and the execution. I mean, Mahomes spread the ball around to eight different receivers. Got some, you know, weren't good on third down the whole game, but picked up two crucial ones at the end with great calls, great execution. That's Andy Reid. Yes, Mahomes is really good. Could they have got it done with Josh Allen, the quarterback? You know, that's open for debate. It doesn't matter. I think the big difference is Reid and Spagnuolo.
I absolutely agree 100% with you. And number 15 is pretty good in the clutch. Didn't have great stats this year. Knows he has a defense. It was a great ball game. It was a great ball game. Chiefs had a chance. They turned it over. Only turnover that they've had in playoffs this year on an RPO that just the mesh point got messed up between Pacheco and Patrick Mahomes, and that gave Buffalo life. The Bills had four fumbles, did not lose any in that game, which is pretty astounding. Buffalo's red zone efficiency, they were 3 of 3 yesterday. They did a lot of things well. And Kansas City did a lot of things well in their own right. I feel like I should dismiss myself from this discussion, though, Isaac. Maybe you and Mark should have it. I don't know. No,
I think that was more of a Reed win than anything. It felt like they schemed completely around the Kansas City schemed around their weaknesses on offense really well, where there was basically no long developing plays, so they basically eliminated the Bills' pass rush in the game because they're. Kansas City's tackles, offensive tackles, are a real weak spot for them. So instead, they opted for RPO routes, 8-yard hitches,
yep.
4 or 5-yard slants. So to me, I think that said a lot more about Reed's ability to scheme and game plan than anything else, I guess is the best way. But also, Von Miller's contract is really bad. Is also one of my takeaways because he's going to get cut this offseason because they'd rather pay $15 million in dead cap than what? It's like $23 million yeah. cap hit next year. Just, he's old, slow, expensive. Is real bad combination there. But
somebody will sign Von Miller next year, though.
Yeah, but it'll be for like $3 million, not for $23 million.
It will be a lot less. And I will say this about Buffalo. I was really shocked. Some people pointed out Saquon Barkley only carried the ball, touched the ball 14 times or 16 times, something like that. 15, I think it was. James Cook only touched it 16 times. And there was a time in the third quarter, and we talked about it earlier today, Mark, that the same thing with the Houston-Kansas City game. Houston ran the ball right down the Chiefs' throat. Buffalo did that in the third quarter, and I'm just thinking to myself, where has this been all day? And this is what I feared. Was just Buffalo just hammering and running behind that offensive line. And that was the only time really during the game they did that.
Yeah, I think it was maybe a bit of a tactical mistake on the part of the Bills. They were having success at a certain juncture in the game. But that plus chasing two-point conversions, I mean, it's one of those things where you make them, it's great. If you don't make them, McDermott found out what he failed on two-point conversions, chasing 2 points in the first half or early the second half. I really wonder about that. And of course, everybody pointing at – I'm happy this game was not decided by a bad call.
Yeah.
Now, some people thinking that, you know, that it wasn't a catch by Worthy down by the goal line when both had a – well, there was a holding penalty there too. So
Chiefs had first down at the 17.
Chiefs would have still had the ball. And then there was the sneak by Josh Allen that people pointing to that one official ran in from one side, marked it differently than the other guy on the other side, ended up not being a first down. And you got to credit the Chiefs for one thing because Buffalo – only missed converting that sneak once all year. But I think it's high time that, you know, use technology in this instance. You can't expect two officials, each of whom are 20 yards away from the play, probably blocked out by 15 different players, going like crazy, and expect them to spot the ball accurately. And the replays show not many angles down the line. They're offline a little bit. Why not use a laser or put a chip in the ball? I don't think I'm too far out of the box there if you want to get it right.
True. 319-366-1600. I'll say before you, Isaac, I will say this, that I agree with everything you said, Mark. I think they can easily put a chip in the ball and be done with it. But
talk to Brady about that.
Well, he's in charge of inflating balls. The ref that came from the Bills sideline did not have he was not on the side that Josh Allen was. The closer official, I'll say this about the sneak. I think he had it for a moment. He went back perhaps. I don't know. And then he turned so that his back was to the point where he needed to get to on the football field, and that moved the ball. That's maybe what they looked at. I don't know. Isaac.
I think it was one of those where whatever was called on the field was just going to stand, and so they called it short, and so it stood. Like, if they had called that a first down, I think that would have stood just as well. I will say, in soccer, they have what's called goal line technology.
And tennis has it as well.
Yes, so there is some stuff, but however, goal line technology, it's a set line every single time. I don't know how you can implement that on a moving first down sort of thing, but there is a level of technology there.
They can do it. They can do it. 319-366-1600 as we come your way. And, yeah, with all these, you know, tush pushes and brotherly shoves and whatever the heck they're calling it in Buffalo, with all these things going on right now, and until they do make that play illegal, which I think is going to come down the line, unfortunately, I think it's going to happen after there's going to be a catastrophic injury. I hate to say that, but I think that's what's going to cause it to go away. Yeah, why not use technology?
Well, the fact of the matter is there were 13 minutes left in the game, and it was a tie game, 22-22. And there's no guarantee, of course, that Buffalo was going to go down and score either a field goal or a touchdown. It's also a fact of the matter is that Kansas City scored five plays later. You know, the unknowns are there. You know, 52-51, if there is a chip in the ball, I'm sorry, 30-18, if there is a chip in the ball, let's use it.
Don't think there's a chip in the ball right now, though. I don't believe so. Isaac, there's not a chip in a football, is there?
There might be. I thought they were, like, experimenting with stuff. Yes, the NFL footballs have RFID chips inside of them. The chips are used to track the ball's position and performance during games. So I think that's more for, like, spin rate as far as balls go.
Right.
And also, like, they have all that high-tech, like, percentage chance of catching it sort of thing.
Oh,
it's not
well,
used.
We need that over, you know, spotting the football
it's
correctly.
It's not used for spotting the ball. I don't think that technology has caught up. So I think they have the chip to market. I don't know if they have the technology to have a invisible line that the chip has to cross sort of thing, is my understanding.
But there's a drone in the stadium. I don't know. I'm not a technology expert, but you mentioned soccer, I mentioned tennis, you know, the line calls. We've seen those confirmed or not in tennis. Of all the rules that the NFL needs to explore, and maybe college as well, is something to, you know, get the call right. And I'm not saying it was wrong, but, you know, something.
So the chip is used to measure speed at which players are carrying the ball, acceleration of, like, running back, stuff like that, release time for throwing the ball, and rotation. That's what it measures right
now. That's wonderful.
It doesn't really measure location on the end of a play, is my brief, you know, Google search understanding.
Duh. Come on.
Yeah, okay. It was 22-21. Okay, sorry. 30-18.
Greg in Epworth, congratulations to you, by the way, Greg. Says they won't do that because the controversy brings conversation, which brings ratings. It don't hurt the ratings. That's for sure. Return yards, 148-34 for the Chiefs yesterday. That was major in the game. Chiefs had a couple of big returns, which put them in good field position.
It was a big difference, I think. And all the other stats were very close, but you know, I don't want to focus on that spot too much, other than the fact that I think the NFL and technology can improve the game in that regard. And whether it made a difference in the winner or loser, who's to know?
Yeah. 319-366-1600. We now get ready for Andy Reid Bowl 2, the all-time winningest coach for the Kansas City Chiefs and the all-time winningest coach for the Philadelphia Eagle organization as a rematch of a Super Bowl from 2 years ago won by the Chiefs. And we've got 2 weeks to get ready for that game down in New Orleans. We don't have much time to get ready for our friend Tom Kakert. We're going to talk Hawkeyes with Tom coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Right after we get it to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update at this time. It's brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. And at the end, we'll give you the results of the pick six as well. What we got, Mark?
Speaking of the Super Bowl, two Philadelphia Eagles players will celebrate their birthdays at the Super Bowl, February 9th. Running back Saquon Barkley will turn 28 that day, and defensive back Cooper DeJean of Iowa will be all of 22 years old on the 9th. Also in the NFL, the Chicago Bears have hired the youngest coordinator in NFL history. New coach Ben Johnson has hired 28-year-old Declan Doyle as offensive coordinator. Doyle is the son of former Iowa strength and conditioning coach Chris Doyle and the nephew of Bears great Mike Ditka. Declan Doyle has worked for the Broncos and the Saints. Iowa State's Joshua Jefferson has been named Big 12 Conference Newcomer of the Week. Jefferson had 30 points last Tuesday against UCF and 13 points and 10 rebounds Saturday against Arizona State. Iowa City West offensive lineman Colin Witters has announced his commitment to Iowa. He will be in the class of 2026. Finally, the latest high school basketball poll is out. Kennedy and Linmar are third and fourth, respectively, in Class 4A, and they will meet a week from tomorrow at Kennedy. Xavier is eighth in 3A, Iowa City Regina ninth in 2A.
Yep, a lot of good basketball as we get into the month of February. Believe it or not, we're about 2 weeks away from the girls' tournaments getting underway. Man, 2025 is flying. Winner of the pick six, Mark.
That would be you, Scott. You beat me on a tiebreaker. We each finished 3-3. You, of course, picked Kansas City. I picked Buffalo, and the tiebreaker went way over the numbers that each one of us had picked. 139 was the total in both of the games played yesterday.
Who's the winner, Isaac?
And that would be Mike, who I will call after I get Tom on the phone.
Awesome. Mike, thanks for the confidence and congratulations. You get a $30 gift card from Emil's Hideaway. We'll take a break. Tom Kakert joins us next.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast, and there'll be plenty of sunshine with some clouds passing through later this afternoon into the evening. Temperatures are going to be in the mid-40s out ahead of that, with some strong winds out of the south and west gusting as high as 40 miles per hour. The clouds come with a weak cold front passing through, and that front will lead to still breezy conditions overnight, and skies will then clear. Temperatures drop to a low around 20. Tomorrow we're back to the sunshine and the wind and temperatures in the upper 40s. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
People are different. People want to be treated differently. We don't take you through a process.
We're going to cater the process to them, to buy the vehicle the way they want to buy it.
Patrick Gades and Terry Adams of Dairy Brothers Ford talk about what Here For You means to them.
When it's right for you, from a time to a budget, it's not about when we're ready to do it, it's about when you're ready to do it.
No worries, no rush at all.
That's one of the things that I would say Here For You also means.
That's the goal. That is the goal.
Find out what it means to you at Deary Ford in Iowa City.
Scott Unash here for your neighborhood Quickstar. And Quickstar knows life is busy. They get it. And that's why they offer some great, great deals each and every day. Whether you're craving fresh hot coffee, stopping by for a tasty bakery treat, or a quick grab-and-go meal or a snack, they've got whatever you need at your local Quickstar. And that includes roasted whole chicken on special today, $6.99. It's hot and ready for any meal or meal prep. If you're thinking soup, they've got specials on 36 to 40 ounce soup, on Tuesdays. That's for $6.99. Good for you to heat up on those cold, cold winter days. And Quickery Cheese Mountain Pizza on special later in the week, Thursday and Friday. Thin crust, $6.99. Traditional specialty crust, that is just $9.99. All that and a whole lot more always available at your neighborhood Quick Star.
Tune in to 1600 ESPN every weekday at 5 o'clock with Spencer on Sports for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go, and that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
3:35 back with you. It's a Monday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. We've been talking some football, a little Iowa and Iowa State basketball in the front half of the show. And if you missed that, go ahead and revisit that on our podcast, available at kgymradio.com, Apple, or Spotify. 319-366-1600. That is the text line out there for you as we welcome in Tom Cakert from HawkeyeReport.com, who kindly joins us on a Monday here in Eastern Iowa. Hope you had a good weekend, Tom.
I did. It was pretty quiet, but these Friday basketball games make for quiet weekends pretty much. So especially when Iowa wins, then it's a little quieter.
Yeah. Well, yeah, on that subject, how big a win was that? Not only for the program, for Fran McCaffrey, for everybody to make sure that some doors went open when Ace Baldwin shot that open three-pointer.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it was, boy, had they let that one get away, it would have been a long weekend for Fran and for Iowa program because they had that thing salted away and they just couldn't make a free throw. And it got contagious. You know, it started, Price Sanford missed 2 free throws, and then they missed, 3 front ends of 1-and-1s, and that was, it should have been a fairly comfortable win, and instead they had to white knuckle it down to the final seconds.
Tom, we know very well the woes of Iowa on the road. What does Iowa face tonight?
Yeah, it's a Buckeye team that has lost their last 3 at home, which is probably not a good thing for Iowa because you know that they're going to be very cognizant of that they have dropped 3 in a row, including losing to Indiana. I think that's like Indiana's only win in like the last couple weeks, probably. So, they've got that going against them. Also, Iowa is 0-4 on the road. They're losing by an average of like 16.5 points a game on the road, and just a lot of ugly numbers on the road for Iowa right now. And they've, just gotten off to such bad starts. First halves have just not gone well, and they have not been able to get back in those games. So I do think this one will be a little bit closer just because Ohio State has not played well, but Ohio State also has kind of had Iowa's number. You remember back last year in the Big Ten tournament where that Ohio State team was scuffling a little bit but playing hard for Diebler down the stretch, and they were able to win that game. That probably really solidified Diebler getting that job full-time.
Yeah, and Ohio State this year, they have played a bunch of close games and have not come out on the plus end of those close games. And also, if you like offense, this might be your cup of tea tonight because Iowa went 87 a game and Ohio State just under 80 a game. So defense may be optional tonight, and it's which, could help Iowa. And it's been a kind of a strange series because it seems like Iowa either plays really well and wins in Columbus or this thing is over in the first 10 minutes.
Here's another one for you guys for tonight. Iowa's four road games in conference play, they're giving up an average of 98.4 points per game. That's not good. That's just not very good. And they're going to have to solve that, play a little bit better defense. Now, some of that's skewed way out there because they gave up the 116 to the Badgers on that Friday night up in Madison. But, yeah, they just have not played good defense on the road. Both those games out in California, 99-94. So they have just not shown much of an effort on defense. And I think we'll know in the, like you said, first 10 minutes if they're engaged or not on the defensive end.
Yeah, defense and always rebounding, Tom.
Yeah.
I look at a couple of guys that have come in. Traore, more healthy. It appears he can help a little on the boards. And then Riley Mulvey, who, except for mop-up time, was inconsequential most of his career. But he's in there 5-6 minutes in many games. And I think the guy plays pretty hard for what he's got for talent.
I do, too. I think Riley's played really well in the spot minutes that he has had. And he's really, you know, he's rebounded well. He's given them a little bit more of a defensive presence. And he's one of the better screeners to free up a Peyton Sanford or a Josh Dix for a jump shot. He has done a really nice job at that. So something to watch. And Thelwell, I think he's going to probably draw the assignment of trying to slow down Bruce Thornton, who is kind of the engine. We talked to Fran yesterday in the Zoom call and asked him about Bruce Thornton, who's the point guard for the Buckeyes, and he agreed with me. He's kind of the engine that makes that offense go. So he's a downhill guy, and Thelwell's kind of got that build that I think he may be able to slow him down a little bit. But the last couple times that I was faced Thornton, he's averaging like 15 and 6.5 assists a game against Iowa. So they've got to slow him down.
Tom, in your opinion, where are we at right now? There was a lot of consternation, obviously, and hand-wringing after the West Coast trip and then the loss last Tuesday to Minnesota. I mean, everybody's compiling their lists of possible successors. Fran needed that win Friday. Iowa needed the win Friday, and they got it. It's still not solved a lot of the ills for this basketball team on and off the court by looking at, the many empty seats at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. In your opinion, where does this program stand right now?
I think this is as much an economic decision than it is a results decision. I think results are what they are. You just kind of judge them where they are, but the elephant in the room is Beth Getz and the Iowa Athletic Department want to do like a $65 million project to reinvigorate Carver-Hawkeye Arena, put these suites up in the top, reseat it, kind of do some upgrades to the arena itself, and they're needed. But it's hard to raise that capital and that money on a program like your lead program is really the men's program. I mean, the women's program's had such great success, but you got to have some buy-in from the men's basketball fans and be able to sell those seats and everything. And it's just a tough sell right now. So that's going to be, I think, part of this equation for Beth Getz and her staff as they look at things here in the next couple months. I don't know. Beth has been at, I think, just every game or just about every game, and she's sitting in her seat, and she is not tipping her hand one way or another about how she feels about Fran McCaffrey. And it's just kind of, she's going to evaluate much like Gary Barta did and then make a decision at the end of the year what if anything she's going to do.
Well, Fanny's in the seat will not be a problem this weekend when Iowa women's basketball hosts USC. The Juju Watkins and number four ranked Trojans come to town. But beyond that, Caitlin Clark, retirement ceremony. We've seen some Great moments at Carver for women's basketball. That's going to be another one, isn't it?
It is. It's, you know, I was joking with a friend of mine that the actual game might be number three on that list of things that go on Sunday at Carver Hawkeye Arena, because number one's probably having 22 back in the building and celebrating her amazing accomplishments as an Iowa basketball player. Then they've got, you know, a group of recruits that's probably the best group of recruits that they ever had in that building for a game, including, you know, several players that they've signed, like Gaddy Deal and Journey Houston and players like that. Kate Harpering, you guys remember Matt Harpering, who played at Georgia Tech?
Oh, yeah.
His daughter is like the number one or number two player in that class, and she's going to be at Carver Hawkeye, and there's some other players that are going to be there. So Jenica Lewis, the girl from Johnston, who's a really good 2026 point guard, she'll be their top 10 player in the class, probably top 10, 15 player, I think, in the country for her class. So they've got a lot of talent coming in. And then, oh, by the way, you've got USC, who's number, what, four or five in the country and has arguably the most talented player in the country, and Juju Watkins coming in. So, yeah, it's going to be – going to feel a lot like last year, except for 22 won't be putting on her jersey to play for the Hawkeyes, which is the unfortunate part, because they could probably use her, I think, on Sunday afternoon.
Tom Caker from Hawkeye Report joining us at coming up on 3:46 here on the Monday edition of the Gym Class. This Iowa women's basketball team, they've also had their share of struggles as of late, as we know. Seemingly having leads, whether it be free throws, whether it be the other team getting hot at the right time, whatever the case may be, turnovers, they've had that problem. Maybe the big monkey was thrown off the shoulder the other day out on the West Coast. I don't know. Good time to do it, though, ahead of, you know, what they've got coming up.
Yeah, this schedule gets mighty tough down the stretch, I think, for both the men's and the women's. Excuse me. Yeah, things will get tough down the stretch here for both teams, but this will be that was a much-needed good shooting game, and making free throws, and you know, turnovers were still up a little bit, but overall, I thought they played really well against Washington.
Tom, more concerning injury, incoming quarterback Mark Gronowski or Drake Ayala?
I'm not sure Ayala's would even make a difference this weekend. All things being said, you know, about going to Penn State, I mean, this is probably one of Iowa's best squads from Tom Brands in probably about 4 or 5 years, at least. And somehow the gap between them and Penn State might have grown, because that Penn State team is just – it's like the 27 Yankees. I mean, it's just number one guy after number one guy after number one guy, and they just keep coming at you. I think Gronowski is going to be fine. From what I understand, his surgery went really well. They were expecting surgery to take, you know, 30 to 40 minutes, and it took about 10. And they got in there. They think he might be back a month sooner than they anticipated. So, I think things are looking up from the Gronowski front for Iowa right now.
It's a crowded quarterback room, though. All of a sudden, even with Cade McNamara going to East Tennessee State, it's there. All of a sudden, it's somewhat deep in there.
It is, and you know, the guy is a kind of watch. I know they've got the hype for Gronowski, but keep an eye on Hank Brown. Heard some really good things about him, and that Tim Lester thinks that he might be a guy that's going to push to be the backup ahead of Sullivan this year. So we'll see. They got to see that with spring ball. And I maybe one of the, you know, you'd love to have Gronowski out there because you want him out there working with the receivers and everything. But boy, it's going to give a lot of extra reps for Sully and Brown and the other Sullivan, Jimmy Sullivan. So I think that's going to be a real positive for Iowa. Oh, and Shaggy too. You can't forget Jackson Stratton, the 2-0 Jackson Stratton as a starter. So he got him in that mix as well.
Hey, Tom, a lot of great recruiting information at Hawkeye Report, too. Fran's got a pretty good class, evidently. Signed his fourth, and football keeps chugging along.
Yeah, you know, they had a good junior day. We'll start with football with the Linder kid committing from Minnesota, and then Owen Withers, the kid from Iowa City West. I think they'll get some good news probably here at the top of the hour on another offensive lineman coming to the Hawkeyes, big kid from South Dakota who's, I think, going to commit at the 4 o'clock hour. So we'll see when that news pops. But, yeah, they're doing well on the 2026 front. And then, Joshua Lewis, the 6'7 wing from Tampa, who's we've got him, like, top 35, I think, in the country in his class. So really big get for Iowa. To go with Desmond Briscoe, and you get the Isaiah Johnson Agaru, the transfer from University of Miami, and Iquite, the big kid who committed in the fall. So they've kind of put together a pretty athletic wing-based, big wings class that is really intriguing for the future of Iowa basketball.
It is, which is the catch 22 of this entire situation with Fran McCaffrey, because this is his best recruiting class coming in next year if it stays together.
It is, and that just kind of has to factor into the whole thing too. So it's going to be a fascinating couple months for Iowa basketball, but I think, you know, with any decision like that, if you have to make a decision like that, you can't worry about the recruiting. You just can't. You just got to do what's best for the program, because the way things are today with the transfer portal and everything else, you're able to put together a squad and get quality players in right away. I mean, you look at what, you know, the guy that probably gets mentioned more than anybody else, Darren DeVries. I mean, I don't think West Virginia had a player on the roster, and look at what he's done out there in Morgantown. So it can be done fairly quickly, and you can turn a roster around and get good players in there and make something happen.
True.
Last for me, Tom, I don't know if you have any skin for the Super Bowl, but my question is about Cooper DeJean and his rookie season with the Eagles. Quite good.
He was getting a lot of praise from the GOAT yesterday, wasn't he? From Tom Brady, singing Coop's praises quite a bit. So, I'm super happy for Coop. And amazingly, and Blair Sanderson from our site looked this up, that Cooper is it's his birthday. It'll be his 22nd birthday on Super Bowl Sunday, which is just amazing for him, and couldn't happen to a nicer young guy. Just an incredible kid, incredible family.
I wish Cooper all the best.
You're a Chiefs fan, I know, Scott. I know. You want him to see a frown on his face for his birthday.
If he runs back a punt, whatever, as long as that scoreboard has one more point for the other side, I'll be fine. And I did the same thing with Tristan Wirfs, but they won. So, I can't lose in this equation. So, Tom, thanks. Appreciate it as always. Keep up the great work at Hawkeye Report, and we'll talk soon.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Take care.
You bet. Tom Kakert joining us here on a Monday in Eastern Iowa. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap things up for you right after this here on the Gym Class in 1600 ESPN.
Life's better when you're under our roof, because our agents can help you choose insurance to help protect what matters most. Life insurance from American Family Life Insurance Company can help financially protect your loved ones by replacing a portion of your income if you were to pass away. That means your family can have the help they need to continue to pursue their dreams.
Contact Kurt Gustafson or Lana Pierce at 319-363-7214.
Products not available in all states. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
American Family Insurance.
Did your IT provider break up with you? Or did they raise your managed services rate sky high? I'm sorry to hear that. This is Patty with Network Computer Solutions. At NCS, small businesses are just as important as bigger ones and deserve the same exceptional IT services. Give us a call at 319-247-7223. We'll talk over what you need and how we can help. NCS would be honored to welcome you into our circle. Call today.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids. The official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
Back with you to wrap things up. Spencer on Sports coming your way next. That will be from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. And tonight, 8:30, with the pregame for Iowa State and the Arizona Wildcats from the McHale Center in Tucson. And should be an entertaining game coming up here tonight. And I want to let you know that we are kicking off another cash prize game here, a national cash prize game, the Pay Off Your Holiday Bill, we're going to call it, electronic game here. All you need to do is go to kgymradio.com and follow all the instructions, and you can be entered into the $5,000 to win nationwide contest to help pay off all those holiday bills. You got a lot of those, Isaac, right? You're a very generous guy over the holidays, I know. Not that you're eligible for this, but, you know, it's the spirit that counts.
I'd probably put them towards my student loans before anything else right now.
Okay, if it's somebody else in college, then it's pay off your student loans. But anyone else, it's pay off your holiday bills. Go to kgymradio.com for more information on that. Mark, if you like offense, tonight is your cup of tea. We mentioned Iowa and Ohio State, both at about 80, well, Iowa almost 90, Ohio State at 80 points a game. They have nothing on Iowa State and Arizona. Both those teams are in the low 80s. So something's got to give tonight in both of these games.
Something does have to give, but that was the same was true for Iowa, Penn State. Both the teams were averaging over 80 points, and that game ended up in the 70s, I think. So close to 80, but you would think both these games are going to be pretty good offensive games.
I think we would be doing very well if one of these two teams comes away with a road victory tonight. Iowa State's got to play better tonight than they did in the first 30 minutes in Tempe on Saturday. I don't think there's any doubt about that. The thing that scares me about Iowa and Ohio State, Mark, is the fact that Ohio State has had a little bit of time off to rejuvenate the batteries, and with the new coast-to-coast Big Ten, getting some extra time off, I think, is really beneficial. And as you mentioned, they've lost three in a row at home. This is a tough one for Iowa to come into yet again.
It is, but Iowa's got to grab a road win sometime. It doesn't play for a week after this, or a better part of a week, so time is now.
Yes, Cyclone Tim, you're going to be needing an extra coffee in the morning. All the Cyclone fans going to be needing an extra cup of coffee in the morning to stay up tonight for the 9:35 tip-off in Tucson. We'll talk with KJ Pilcher coming up tomorrow. Mark, have a good night.
Will do. Talk to you tomorrow.
You've been listening to The Gym Class right here in Eastern Iowa's home for sports, 1600 ESPN. Have a great night, everybody.
A Progressive Home and Auto Bundle can protect you round the clock, but we can't protect you from those painful moments in sports.
Why would we trade our best player?